So we left off. I told you we're going to do Rav Elchanan next. We were trying to come up with approaches to the issue of whether the din of Rodef / Baba Machteres is a din of Onesh or a din of Hatzalas HaNirdaf. Is it a din of just punishing the Rodef, or is it a din that we're trying to be Matzal LeNirdaf? We have five rayas each way, or roughly five rayas each way, and we had to come up with some sort of approach. So Rav Elchanan, this is where I left you last time, Psachim Memtesim Beis Os Reish Aleph. Rav Elchanan says, if you take a look at Tosfos and Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph over here in Maseches Sanhedrin, the little Tosfos Af Rotzeach Nitan Latzilu B'Nafsho. Tosfos says that even a Rotzeach is Nitan Latzilu B'Nafsho. So Frek tells him, Tomer Mivihika B'Chol Adam Nafka Kiddushin Leel. Why do I need any special limud? I already have a pasuk that I already learned from a Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis that anybody is allowed to kill the Rotzeach. So the Yishlam Adazim Rishus. So he says, two pesukim teach me two different dinim. One din is that it's permissible to kill a rotzeach, and the other din is that you're chayiv to kill a rotzeach, you're chayiv to kill a rodef. So says Rav Elchanan, these are two different elements of the mitzvah of the halacha that you kill a rodef. One element is that you have a chiyuv to save the person who's going to get killed. And that is the pasuk that teaches me that there's a chiyuv to kill the rodef. The other element is, even if you're not going to save the person who's going to get killed, there's still a separate pasuk that teaches me that his dam becomes hefker, that the blood of this rodef is not considered human blood. It's considered as if it's his dam is hefker. It's not considered as if you are taking a human life when you kill him. Not that you're chayiv to do that, but simply that it's not called murder. So we need two psukim, one to teach me stam, that is dam is hefker, and the other teach me that when you have the ability to save somebody by killing this guy, so then you have a chayiv to do so. You have a chayiv to save him. And the raya of Elchanan has is Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yutes Amud Aleph. The Gemara Baba Kama Kuf Yutes Amud Aleph tells us that there is a shita that it's mutter to be ma'abed the mamon, to destroy the money of a moser. A moser is someone who rats you out to the government, right? He says, that's where you can find this. I'll tell you where you can find this guy, where you can. And he masters people over the government, and he's therefore a dangerous person to have in the Jewish community. Masira was always viewed as like the most dangerous thing, the greatest act of disloyalty that one could do to the Jewish community. So the Gemara says that you're allowed to be ma'abed the mamon of a moser from a kal v'chomer. That if you're allowed to kill a moser, kal v'chomer, you could be ma'abed his mamon. You could destroy his money. They held, why are you allowed to kill a moser? What did he do? What capital crime did he do? So they obviously held that a moser is a din of a rodef, right? There were communities in Europe not that long ago where someone who did mesira, they would Yom Kippur, when the one day a year that he'd come to shul, that even the non-from people would come to shul, they would take him out to the mikveh and drown him. They would kill him a moser. They would take the law into their own hands. So moser had a din of a rodef. So it's because it has a din of a rodef, you're allowed to kill him. And the Gemara says, and if you're allowed to kill him, kal v'chomer, you're allowed to be ma'abed his mamon. So says Rav Elchanan, wait a second. Why do I need a kal v'chomer that you're allowed to be ma'abed mamon of a moser if he has a din of a rodef? He says, if being ma'abed the mamon will actually save the near death, well then, what's the chiddush? Of course I'm saving a life. Of course I'm allowed to be ma'abed his mamon to save the near death. And if it's not going to save the near death, well then why am I allowed to do it? Why the kal v'chomer doesn't even work, because am I allowed to kill him if I'm not going to save the near death? Where does that heter come from? So he says it must be that even without the ability to save the near death, there's still a heter to kill the rodef, and therefore you could have a kal v'chomer that even when you're not going to save the near death, it's just that the blood of the rodef is hefker. There's a heter, a person is allowed to kill a rodef. So if the blood of the rodef is hefker, you're allowed to kill the rodef even when the near death is not going to be saved. Then you can make a kal v'chomer. What if I could be ma'abid the mamon of a moser and it's not going to save the near death? I'm allowed to do that too. Kal v'chomer, even if the near death is not going to be saved. That's Rav Elchanan's raya. Otherwise, that Gemara doesn't make sense. Why do I need a Kal V'chomer to teach me any? How does a Kal V'chomer even work? If we're talking about where it's where you're being matzil the nirdaf, of course you're allowed to be ma'abid mamon to be matzil the nirdaf. Elamai, we must be talking about a case where you're not going to be matzil the nirdaf, and still you're allowed to kill the rodef. That's the raya Rav Elchanan has. Rav Elchanan says, but here's the problem. If this were true, that there's tzvei dinim over here, there's a din that is blood is hefker, plus there's a din that you have a chiv to do it if you're actually saving the nirdaf. But it sounds like it's blood is hefker even if you're not saving the nirdaf. So I asked Rav Elchanan, the Gemara says that if efshel atzilo be'echad me'evarav, if you have the ability to stop the rodef by shooting him in the leg, then you got to shoot him in the leg. Then you're not allowed to just kill him. But wait a second, if his blood is and if you kill him in that situation, you're chayiv for murder. You killed a man who wasn't chayiv misa. But if there's a din that even when I'm not saving the nirdaf, it's still his blood is just pashut hefker, well then why is it murder if I kill him when I could have saved him by taking out his leg? Meaning, I understand when I could save him by taking out his leg, there's no hatsalas hanirdaf in killing him. I'm not saving the nirdaf by killing him because I could have saved the nirdaf without killing him. I could have shot him in the leg and saved the nirdaf. But what about that second din? That if a person is rodev achar chaver lahargo, his blood is hefker. So shouldn't his blood be hefker? Shouldn't I be allowed to kill him even though it's efshalat zilu b'achar me'evarav? So Rav Elchanan asks this kash on himself. That it seems like his whole svarav, these tzvei dinim, that you have the one din of atzala where you have a chiv to kill, then you have a second din where it's not atzala, but it's a din of just that his blood is hefker, even when you're not saving anybody. So that doesn't seem to work with the halacha that yachal atzilu b'achar me'evarav, and you don't save him b'achar me'evarav, that you're going to be prosecuted for murder. So Rav Elchanan suggests, and maybe you can answer this question. Maybe his original vert, his tzvei dina, maybe it really does work. But he says, the halacha is that you're allowed to kill a rodef. How do you define a rodef? So a rodef is someone's going to kill his friend. But, says Rav Elchanan, if I have the ability to stop him by shooting him in the leg, then be'etzem, only his leg is really a rodef. Because without that leg, he wouldn't be killing anybody. He wouldn't have the ability to kill anybody. So I only have, meaning the reason I have a heter to shoot him in the leg, and I cannot, the reason I'm not allowed to murder him when I can shoot him in the leg, is not that it's a dinin hatzala. It's just that only the leg is a rodef. The rest of his body is not a rodef. Whenever something has a shame rodef, so the domo shal rodef becomes hefker. But the shame rodef is only on the part of him that he needs in order to do the redifa. If he doesn't need certain parts to do the redifa, then those parts aren't, or he's not. If he needs a particular part to do the redifa, and without that part the redifa couldn't happen, then only that part is called the rodef. And therefore only that blood is hefker. The rest of his blood is not hefker. That's why you're not allowed to kill him. Yeah? Yeah, presumably that would be the case, right? That if you could stop him some other way, lav dafka by shooting him in the leg.
They're saying that if you could stop the means by which he's going to use to kill the guy,
then he loses the status as a rodef, right? Only those means take on the status of a rodef. Yeah.
Therefore, is din a seder or is it an onesh?
So there's tzvei dinim. The din in hatsala is a din in. Is din hatzalah, when you're actually going to save a life. And that's a chiyuv. That's a chiyuv. Even when you're not going to be able to save the guy, there's still a din onesh. There's still a din that is dam is mufkar, and that's an onesh. For being a rodef, your onesh is that your blood becomes hefker. Which means anybody's allowed to kill you, but not mechuyiv to do so.
So then how would you say that you're even allowed to do that kal v'chomer of learning that you can destroy his mind?
So that's the one when there's no hatzalah. Oh, enon shemin adin. Right, that's a problem. That's a good question. Don't know. It could be, maybe like this. Why is it that Eidon Shemin Adin? So we had two possibilities. We had the Marsha says Eidon Shemin Adin because, what did the Marsha say? Who remembers? I'm drawing a blank for a second. No, we had the Marsha saying Eidon Shemin Adin because an onesh is a kapara, right? That's what it is. Onesh is a kapara. And just because a lesser onesh would have been mechaper doesn't mean, just because for a lesser avera this onesh would have been mechaper doesn't mean that this onesh will be mechaper for a greater avera. Right? That was the marsha. But there was another daya that we quoted of why ein onesh min hadin, and that was that since din, since kal v'chomer is purely a svara, so while it's great, we can make a dinim out of a svara, let's say it turns out later that we discover that our svara was bad, that there was something wrong with our svara. So wow, I already killed this guy, I already gave him malchus, there's no way to take it back, there's no way to undo what I did. So you can't be ma'anish min adin, you can't be ma'anish based on the kal v'chomer, because if you then later find out that your svara was bad, then it will turn out that you stam assaulted a guy. Stam battery and assault, what you did to the guy. Because he wasn't really deserving of the onesh. But maybe that's only true when it's something that you can't take back. When it's malchus, misa, but maybe mammon, since it's something that you can give back or you can take back, maybe by mammon you would say onesh min hadin, if that's the svar of onesh min hadin. Right, the Gemara is deriving kal v'chomer from mammon. They should be able to be ma'abid as mammon based on the kal v'chomer. Right, that works, right? You just have to check through Shas and see if we ever have ein onesh min hadin by mammon. Yeah, so I'll put it through the computer. So if you ever have ein onesh min hadin by mammon, then that would fly in the face of that. But misvara, that would fly in the face of that whole svara that the son of the Debuta suggested, that ein onesh min hadin is because we're afraid that it's going to turn out that your kal v'chomer is going to be a faulty kal v'chomer, and then it will turn out that you...
Why did he say we needed the kal v'chomer? Because we already said that his blood brother did his hefker, so like, why do we need the kal v'chomer?
The kal v'chomer is there to teach me that not only can I kill him, I can also take his money. Even when I'm not saving a life. Even when it's not going to save a life. Which is unclear what that means to me, even. What is the v'chomer talking about? If I see someone, Reuven, chasing after Shimon to kill him, I could just run into Reuven's house and steal all of his stuff. It's not saving Shimon's life, but hey, his blood is hefker, kal v'chomer, I should be allowed to take his money. Is that really, that's the halacha?
Maybe it's not referring to that kind of rodev. Generally, we think of rodev as someone running after a person with a knife or a gun or something. But what if, let's say, we're saying a mosa?
Yeah, but so like just going to his house and take his stuff.
Well, let's say
it's not saving anybody, right? Because that's Rav Chanan's whole vart. Even when it's not saving anybody, you're allowed to kill him. So even when it's not saving anybody, kal v'chomer, you can take his stuff.
Now, if he's using his
why should he be allowed to take his stuff?
If he's using his mumbles as the means of being a rodeh, then you should be able to take his mumbles. Let's say he's paying off someone.
But that's hatzalah. That's saving somebody.
This is saying like you know,
that even when there's no hatzalah,
like you know someone is going to plan on killing someone, so like. Okay,
so let me take his iPad. You know, like, what is it? How does that?
So I go send someone to kill him because he's scared to kill him. They're like, I'll be in his house taking money for the both of us.
Right. It's a little bit strange. I don't know. I don't know what Rav Chanan does with that. I don't know how to make sense of that. I'm not sure. Anyway, that's Rav Chanan's vart. The other thing I really wanted to focus on today was the machlokas between the Ran on the one hand. Ran and Yad Rama on the one hand, and Rashi and the Rambam on the other hand. Gemara 9 Bezim and Aleph speaks about the Chazaka right off the bat. Omer Rav my time in the Machteres. Why is it that by a Machteres you're allowed to kill the guy that you catch in the Machteres? Chazaka in other Mamanat Svel Mamona, because you have a Chazaka that a person wouldn't be Mamanat Svel Mamona, and therefore Vahai, this Ganav, Memramri, Yazil Nakoy Lapai Velo Shavakli. The Ganav says, I know that the guy's not going to leave me alone if I try to steal the stuff. I'm ready to kill him. So Rashi says, if you look at Rashi says, where is it? Chazakin of the Mamanatsval Mamono, Sharoa Sha'achar Notlo, Vishosek. No one's going to watch another person take their money and just stand there quietly. Hilkach yodea haganav azeh, therefore this ganav knows, shabalabayis omer al mamonu lahatzilo, that the balabayis will stand up for his money to try to save him, try to save his money. Umeimer omer haganav, and then the ganav says, yazil nalgabei koi bapai vikoi katil nalei. So where's the first time the word katil nalei, or katil, or murder, or horeg is used in that phrase? Vis-a-vis who? The ganav. Balabais isn't going to kill me. Balabais is just going to try to stop me. So the Ganav says, oh, so I got to be ready to kill because the Balabais is going to try to stop me. But if you look at the Ra, and the Ra understands this very differently. So I gave you in the Mar Makamos, the first Mar Makam, I think, was the Ra. So the Ra writes a different svar. The Koyla Paika Tilmalay says the Ra, Vaday She'in Kol Aganavim Bad Naliskin Nefashos. Not every Ganav wants to murder. In fact, most Ganavim probably don't want to murder. They want to get the money, and they're coming in the middle of the night because they want you to be sleeping, and they want you to stay asleep. They just want your money, and they want to leave. And if the Balabais were to just try to stop the Ganav and take his money back, the Ganav would be fine. He would say, okay, take your money back, and he'd run away. The Ganav, look, is looking for an ideal to get out of there with all the money and hoping the guy doesn't wake up. The Ganav in his own mind would be very happy that if the person wakes up, say, okay, I'll rob another house. You take your money, let me go on my merry way. Right? That's a Ganav's psychology. So where's the killing? How does it have a rise to killing? So says the Ran. Di lo yachol ganav l'mignav lezel nafshe ela bal habayis hu ha'omeid kinegdo al menas larog im lo yaniach lo zakelim miyad. It's the bal habayis who, when he sees someone taking his kelim, and is going to scream stop, and the ganav might try to still make get away with it, then the bal habayis will shoot. And because the Ganav knows that the Balabayas will shoot, if it comes to that, the Ganav has to be ready to defend himself with lethal force also. So the Ganav also has to be ready to kill. Very, very different than Rashi. The way the Ran understands is who's the first one to think of killing? Who's the one that elevates this from stama fight to a life and death match? It's the Balabayas, according to the Ran. Ganav would be very happy if this never rises to the level of life and death. He's very happy to say, look, if I don't get caught, I'll get the money. If I do get caught, I won't get the money and I'll run away. He's fine with that. He doesn't want to kill anybody. But he knows that the Balabais would kill him if the Balabais catches him. And since he knows that, he has to be prepared for that. And the way to be prepared for that is by being ready to kill the Balabais should the Balabais try to confront him. So the real chazaka in the Mamaras Mamono doesn't mean just a chazaka that a guy won't sit there quietly with his arms folded while you take all of his stuff. Chazaka in the Mamaras Mamono means a chazaka that the Balabai is going to try to kill you if you take all of his stuff. Very different kind of chazaka.
Therefore he can kill you?
And therefore he can kill you. Since the Balabais would do something that halachically is incorrect in killing you, he's not allowed to do that, right? He wouldn't be allowed to do that if you're not interested in killing him. But since you know that he would do that, that most people do it even though they're not halachically allowed to, so therefore you, the Ganav, are going to be ready to kill him, and now that makes it mutter for him to kill you. Very strange svar. It's like ping pong, it goes back and forth. The Ganav alone doesn't want you to die, doesn't want to kill you. So you have no heter to kill him. But he knows that even though you have no... People do things that aren't mutter sometimes. So he knows that even though you have no heter to kill him, you will do it, because that's the chazaka. So mainly he's ready to kill you. Now you are allowed to kill him. Made it mutter for you. That's the Ran's
part. It's making it seem like it's mutter for the Ganav to kill him.
It might be. That if the Ganav feels that the Balabais is going to kill him, then the Ganav is allowed to kill the Balabais.
So he's allowed to go unarmed because the Balabais might come and kill him.
Right, but now be ready to lose your life.
So now both their lives are hefker.
Ah, so that's a good kasha. According to the Ran, would the Balabais' life be hefker also because he's a rodev?
So it makes a thing in the word, it makes it seem like he's a rodev.
Ah, so the Ran says, no, the Ganav is still the rodev. The Ganav is still the rodev. Why? So take a look at the Ran toward the end. The Ran writes, even though the Balabais has no right to kill him, to kill him just for coming and taking the money, there's a chazaka that a guy would never just let you take his money. The Ganav who knows that you're going to try to kill him if you catch him will get up for who she hischil b'meriva. The Ganav started it. Ubabi Machteris, by tunneling into your house. Asa'o hakos of rodev. So the Torah makes him a rodev. Meaning, Enochinami, the Ganav is not interested in being a rodev, he's not interested in killing. and it's only because he feels the threat of the Baal HaBayis wanting to kill him that the Ganav even has a havamin of killing. But because he's the one that caused the Baal HaBayis, that pushed the Baal HaBayis to the brink, where the Baal HaBayis is in a position where he wants to kill the Ganav, Mimela the Ganav, because the Torah considers the Ganav as the Rodif, because he's the one that pushed this to happen. He pushed and pushed and pushed until the Baal HaBayis became a Rodef. Mele Torah says, no, Ganav, you're a Rodef. Now, the Ran doesn't say that the Baal HaBayis is not a Rodef. It could be that you're right, that the Baal HaBayis, if the Ganav kills the Baal HaBayis, he's potter for the killing. Because Baal HaBayis is taka a Rodef. But at the very least, the Baal HaBayis, the Ganav is at least also a Rodef. At least. Baal HaBayis is allowed to kill the Ganav. But the whole psychology of how it works is that the Ganav doesn't want it to rise to the level of murder. It's the Baal HaBayis who's going to want to let it rise to the level of murder. The Ganav is just reacting off of that. Obvious kasha. There's an obvious kasha on this run. The Gemara on the bottom of the page going over Tamid Beis talks about the difference between the Aval Ben and Ben Alav. You got to that Gemara? I don't know if we didn't share or not. See that Gemara? Aval Ben Alav? Because if not, we'll do it right now. So tell me. We should do it, we'll do it anyway. Okay, so take a look at the Gemara at the bottom of the page. Ayin Bezim Alf. The Gemara asks a stira between two brises. 5 lines from the end of the page. Tan Rabbanan. Ein lo damim im zorcha Hashem Hashalav. Pasuk says, Ein lo damim im zorcha Hashem Hashalav. If the sun shines on him. Now when the sun shines, it tends to shine on more than one person. Right? It always shines on more than one person. So what's the pasuk talking about? So it says Gemara, V'chi Hashemesh Alav Bilvad Zorcha? Does the sun shine only on him that we call Zorcha Hashemesh Alav? Ella, rather, what the pasuk is teaching me is as follows. It's speaking euphemistically, metaphorically. Metaphorically. As follows. Im bar lecha hadavar kishemesh, she'en lo shalom imach, hargehu. If it is crystal clear to you, like by the light of day, like as clear as things are in sunlight, that the Baba Machteres is coming to kill you, that he's not coming in peace, then you're allowed to kill him. V'imlav. But if it is anything less than crystal clear that he wants to kill you, you may not kill him. If you are even uncertain what he wants to do to you, you may not kill him. It's one brisa. Tanya Ida. Meaning, if you have to like draw it out, you have definitely killing, definitely not killing. So if you're in a situation where he will definitely kill you, then you may kill him. But anywhere along here, anywhere along the doubt, you can't kill him. Only when it's definite, right? Now, Tanya Yidach, we have another brisa that says, "Im zorcha Hashem shalav damim lo." Again, "V'chi Hashem shalav b'levad zorcha." Ella, so rather says the Gemara, you know what this means? "Im bar lecha kishemesh sheyesh lo shalim imach al targein." If you know for sure that he's not going to kill you, then you're not allowed to kill him. But anything less than knowing for sure that he's not going to kill you, meaning anywhere along this line, you are allowed to kill him. So it's a stira. We're pretty certain, both prices agree, that if he's definitely going to kill you, you're allowed to kill him. And if he's definitely not going to kill you, you're not allowed to kill him. But what about in between? What if you're not sure? Anywhere along the line of Suffolk. First price would say, you may not kill him. Second price would say, you may kill him. So what's going on? So says the Gemara, Kasha Stama Stama, it's a stira. Last two words on the page, lo kasha, not a stira. Kan ba'aval ben, kan b'ben ala'av. Difference is, are we talking about a father attacking a son, or a son attacking a father? And just by the way, when we say son attacking a father, we mean anybody attacking anybody. Even a son attacking a father. So what does it mean? As follows. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you see your father breaking into your house, trying to steal from you, so the halacha is, if you know for sure that your father would kill you, how do you ever know for sure that your father would kill you? Because he killed your brother. I don't know, something like that. You know for sure that he's insane and that he will kill you. Then you're allowed to kill him. But anything short of that, if it's a father, you assume he would never kill you. Even if you're not sure, you assume he would never kill you, and therefore you're not allowed to kill him. So the first price it says only if you know for sure that he's going to kill you, you may kill him. Anything short of that, you may not kill him. That's talking about when it's your father. Second price it says, no, only if you know for sure that he's not going to kill you are you not allowed to kill him. But if you even have a little bit of a doubt that he might kill you, then you are allowed to kill him. That's no matter if it's anybody else but your father that's coming in. Because merachim av al ben, a father always has rachmanus on the son. So unless you know for sure that he's a madman and that he kills his own children, you have every right to assume, you have a responsibility to assume that he will have rachmanus, he would not kill you. And therefore you may not kill him when you wake up in the middle of the night and you find him in your machteras. You find him tunneling into your house. That's the Gemara. Kasha is, according to Rashi, this makes plenty of sense. Who's the first one to think of killing, according to Rashi? It's the Ganav. The Ganav says, I know that if he tries to confront me, he's going to yell at me. And because he's going to yell at me and I want this money, I'm ready to kill him, the Ganav says. So when the Ganav is the father's not going to say that we have a chazakah, that the father's going to say, you know what, I would never kill my son. I'd rather just run away or, you know, take a beating or whatever. I wouldn't kill my son. That's never part of the father's plan. That's Aval HaBen. That makes a lot of sense. But according to the Ran, the whole Vart of Aval HaBen doesn't make any sense. Because what's the whole Vart of Aval HaBen? Is that if you wake up in the middle of the night, you see your father there, you could be sure he's not going to kill you. But according to the Ran, if your father's breaking into your house, well, let's put it this way, Ben Alav makes no sense. What do we say? You wake up in the middle of the night, you see your son there, oh, you better worry, he might kill you. Right? But according to the Ran, why would a God have ever killed? What's the only reason a God would ever kill, according to the Ran? Because he thinks you're going to kill him. But if you're his father, why would he think that? The whole Vart is that an Av never kills a son. It doesn't make sense that he's going to be, the God is being concerned that the Av is going to kill me. Why is it by Ben Alav you can kill him because you could assume he's coming to kill you? No, if it's Ben Alav, he should never be coming to kill, according to the Ran. The only reason that a Ganav would ever want to kill is because he thinks the Balabai is going to kill him, but if the Balabai is his father, then the father would never kill him. Major cash on the Ran. Yad Rabbah says just like the Ran also. So in the Sefer Birchas Shai, one of the acronyms, it's a Panovitcher. I'm not sure which Talmud Chachma, I don't remember his name, but I think someone's a Rabbi in Panovitch wrote the Sefer, I'm not sure. Sefer Birch HaShai, he asks his Kasha, and he suggests two answers. Any thoughts? Any thoughts your own? Why would it be that Ben Alav, according to the Ran, you're allowed to kill him, because he's still going to be coming to kill you, doesn't he realize that it's his father that he's robbing from? His father would never kill. Yeah? Good. So one possibility is...
But that's not Abba, it's not like the clear Abba Ben case. It's the point of this case that it's clear who's the Av, who's the Ben.
No, Ben Ala Av, it may be that the Ben knows who the Av is. But the Ben also knows that his father might not see him. He's waking up groggy in the middle of the night, sees someone tunneling into his house. So the Ben is concerned that the father will kill him, not knowing that it's him. And therefore the Ben comes packing heat, comes ready to kill. Right? That his concern is that the father won't realize who it is.
Well, the whole Savara is that I'm not going to know to kill him because I'm not going to kill him because I know he's my son. And here, I would kill him because he is my father, you know, because the whole point of this case is that the person, the Baal Bayis, knows who the other person is.
Right, I hear what you're saying. Like the whole Hechitimtza of Ben Alav and Aval Ben is that by us telling you this is who you can kill, this is who you can't kill, we assume that you know who it is that's there. Otherwise, what kind of halacha, this is who you can kill, this is who you can't kill? If it's your father, you can't kill him. If it's your son, you can kill him. What do you mean? I don't even know who it is. So, Birch Shai suggests two things. Take a look. It's on the next page of the Marmal Kamos. Ve'efshar. About 7 lines before the end of the paragraph. It says, Ve'efshar. The Hada Amur Rachmei Aval Ben V'lo Yavala Hargo When do we say a father wouldn't kill a son? That's when the father is the ganav. But when the son is the ganav, then the father may lose his mind and kill his son. What's the svar? I would think, no, if the father is the ganav, then it's a worse father, right? So shouldn't, I would think the opposite, right? If the father is the ganav, then he's a bad guy. So isn't he a more likely candidate to kill the son than a father who's a victim?
Yeah.
So what's he saying?
He's saying that the son's coming in, so he has to protect himself, so that's why he comes first.
But he doesn't have to protect, the son's not going to kill him. The son's coming in to take his money. He's not really protecting himself. I mean, the Ran's whole svar is that the son, any ganav is not coming in to kill. Ganav is coming in to get money. So shouldn't the son realize that the only reason any ganav would kill is because he thinks the Baal Bayis is going to kill him? But shouldn't the son realize that it's his father? His father's not going to kill him. So it would never rise to the level of a nefashos issue. So it's saying, why is it when the son breaks in, the father would kill the son? When the father breaks in, the father would never kill the son. What's pshat?
When the father's initiating, he knows, like he thought about it. When you think about it, you're not going to be able to kill your son.
Good. I think that's the yisod. That when the father is the ganav, it means he planned how the evening is going to go. A father would never plan, and he's the one calling, you know, he's determining where this evening is going because he's the one starting it. He's the one breaking in. When a father plans out an evening, part of that plan can never be, I will kill my son. But when a son breaks in, the father's taken by surprise. So a cheshbon father, a father who has a cheshbon, would never kill his son. But you take him by surprise in the middle of the night, and he sees you taking his stuff, he may go nuts. He may lose himself. Ma'aved is daito. And then there's an illegitimate concern that he might kill his son. That's one possibility. The other possibility, says, va'od yitachein, da'haben ha'achzar lo masik daitei sha'aviv rachaman. This is, I think, an interesting psychological insight. Of course a father would never kill a son, but a son doesn't understand that. A father loves a child and would never do anything to hurt a child, except steal from him, apparently. But the kid doesn't understand that, because he's not a father, he's a kid. So it's true, the father would never kill him. But when the son is planning the geneva, he's saying, oh, if my father sees me, he's going to kill me, literally. And he really believes that. Even though it's not true. The fact that he believes it, though, means that he's going to, the ganav, the son, who's the ganav, is going to come in willing to kill the father because he thinks the father's willing to kill him. Doesn't matter what the reality is over here. That's how to answer for the Ran.
But that's not the father thinking first.
The way the Ran explained it is that the ganav only wants to, the ganav doesn't want to kill. The only reason he would kill is because he thinks the Baal Bayis is going to kill him.
That's what Rashi says.
No. Rashi says that the ganav comes in saying, I want to steal, and if it means I have to kill to steal, I'll do that too. Because this guy's going to try to stop me. Not that he's going to try to kill me. He's going to yell. He's going to try to jump on me. He's going to try to stop me. So I may have to kill him in order to steal, and I'm willing to do that. That's what Rashi said. The Ran said, no, I'm not willing to kill just to steal. I'd much rather if he confronts me and says stop, just stop and run away. But I don't think he's just going to confront me and say stop. I think he's going to confront me with a gun and try to shoot me. And therefore, I have to be ready for that, and I'm going to kill him too. So that's the difference between Rashi and the Ran. Now, that explains how the Ran is going to read the Gemara on the bottom of the page with Ben Alav Aval Ben, right? But what it doesn't explain is the following. Whenever you have a machlokas Rishonim, there's something that led the Rishonim to say what they said. Meaning, there's a reason Rashi didn't say like the Ran, there's a reason the Ran didn't say like Rashi. So we need to ask ourselves, is what pushed them? What pushed them into saying their respective pshatim? So Rashi is actually fairly easy to figure out what pushed him into saying that we're talking about that the situation is that the ganav is ready to kill. Rashi's actually pretty clear about it, because He has a much easier time with Ben Alav. But the Ben Alav situation worked much, much better, according to Rashi. The Ran is going to have trouble, though. What? Granted, the Ran could kvetch out how he works with Ben Alav. He could come up with a teretz, one of the Birch Shai's tirutzim. But what motivated him? What drove him? Why did he want to say this? So it could be that what drove him to say this is one word in the Gemara. The Gemara says, why is it that you're allowed to kill above Machteres? Gemara says, Chazaka Eina D'mamar Atzmal Mamona. You should know there's a special Chazaka that we have, that a person doesn't stand idly by when his money is being taken, and therefore the God will make a plan. Because there's such a Chazaka. If all that chazaka means is what Rashi said it means, what does Rashi say it means? That what will the person do when you're taking his money? Not stand there. He might yell at you or try to stop you. That's chazaka? I mean, that's so pashut it doesn't even warrant saying. Of course, if you try to take my money, if you walk up to me right now and you try to take my computer out of my bag, I will say, what are you doing? Please stop. And if you don't stop, I'll say, hey, stop! If you don't stop, I may chase after. I mean, it's obvious. Chazaka, that I'm not going to let you take my money. Of course I'm not going to let you. The Gemara should have just said, why is it that someone's Bab Machteres, so you're allowed to kill him? Because the Ganav is going to think, I'm ready to kill in case when this guy tries to stop me. Chiddush, there's a Chazaka in the Ma'amin Atzmal Mamona. What kind of Chiddush? So the Ran says there must be some sort of Chiddush here. So the Chiddush must be not just I'm not going to stand silently as you take my money, but the Chiddush is more than that. The Chiddush is, I'm going to kill if you try to take my money. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that isn't the case, though, with the police officers that he said to you.
Right. Right. So you could argue, that no, it's still a Chiddush, that a Chazak, that I would do anything. Because really, if I see some Bab Machteres, the smartest thing to do is do nothing, pretend I'm sleeping. So this chazaka is valuable because I would have thought, no, you'll do nothing. I mean, that would be how Rashi would respond. That's what the chazaka is all about, right? The chazaka is about the fact that that I'll be mamrat small mamono, that I'm not going to be mamrat small mamono, meaning that I'm not going to pretend I'm sleeping, and that itself is a big chiddush. Yeah, that might be how Rashi would respond. There's that's 12:45. Right? Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow. First of all, I'm not going to be here Wednesday. I'm on a trip with the high school to Boston. You should still come to yeshiva. You should still learn. Tomorrow, so we only have two more days of shiur this week. Both days, I think we're going to spend still in Bab Machteres because, you know, big sugya. Tomorrow, I'd like you to do the following. I'd like you to take a look at the Gemara Bava Metzia in the Mar Makomos and the Yad Ramah that follows it. Okay? There's also a Gemara Bava Basud of Zayin that, Be'ez Hashem, if I have a chance, I'll try to make you a photocopy of the Gemara Bava Basud of Zayin, show you what I want you to see over there. But if I don't have a chance, at least take a look at the Gemara Bava Metzia and the Yad Ramah that follows, and we'll focus on that, God willing, tomorrow. Okay, we'll see if we get out of Mincha. If not, we'll just go straight to the Tamir Al-Hashir.